We are not going to attempt to do the whole book of Jeremiah in one day. And because of the limited time that we have between now and the next major school break, and then the length of the break itself, we are not going to attempt to start a study of the book of Jeremiah. But I believe God would have me speak to you this morning from the book of Jeremiah, and we'll be looking at several passages in that book. So, to begin with, open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Again, we will not be doing an exhaustive study of this book by any means, but I will tell you that I strongly encourage you to read the book of Jeremiah. It is challenging on many levels, but it is a very important part of God's Word. Beginning in Jeremiah chapter 1, the words of Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, one of the priests at Anatoth in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah, and through the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah's son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." "Ah, sovereign Lord," I said, "I do not know how to speak. I am only a child." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am only a child.' You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, "Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant." The word of the Lord came to me, saying, "What do you see, Jeremiah?" "I see the branch of an almond tree," I replied. The Lord said to me, "You have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." The word of the Lord came to me again, "What do you see?" "I see a boiling pot tilting away from the north," I answered. The Lord said to me, "From the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live in the land. I am about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms," declared the Lord. "Their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against all her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar and a bronze wall to stand against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jeremiah is very young, and he is not ambitious in terms of wanting to be a spokesman or a leader. And God says, "That's the kind of person I can use." And so God takes Jeremiah and he says, "I've appointed you. I had this planned before I formed you in the womb." Now, please notice both aspects of that. God formed him in the womb. God had a plan for Jeremiah's life as he was forming him in the womb. But God says, no, it actually predates that. Before I formed you in the womb. Before I knit you together, I had a plan for your life. God is not making this stuff up as he goes along. If you look at history and you feel like things are spinning out of control, please understand God is not being caught off guard. God's sovereignty is not under siege. He is not threatened. And those who are in Christ Jesus are secure no matter what happens. If you want to make a note of that, make a note of that. Those who are in Christ Jesus are secure no matter what happens. Now let me tell you this. God's plan is not something that made Jeremiah comfortable or happy or popular. God's plan for Jeremiah's life was an exceedingly difficult life. Jeremiah was going to be accused of treason because he would speak against the government of his people and say, "Our land is going to be destroyed. There is a foreign ruler who's coming against us, and when he comes, the thing we need to do is surrender to him." Are you worried about foreigners, aliens? Jeremiah was given a very unpopular message, and that is, we're about to be overrun, and it's the judgment of God. Don't think that you can fix it through political or military or economic strategy. The wrath of God is being poured out on Jerusalem because of their persistent, unrepentant sin. That's a hard message to have to deliver because people don't hear it and say, "Oh, wow, thank you for telling me." They say, "You're a liar." And there were tons of other preachers who were prophesying at the same time as Jeremiah, and they were saying, "Hey, it's all going to be fine. It's going to be good. We've got good leadership. We can turn this thing around. Don't worry about it. God will protect us. We are his people. His temple is here. Nothing can ever happen to us because God is on our side." Now, if you're just average Joe or Mary listening to these two preachers, and one says, "Don't be afraid, God is on our side, nothing can happen to us because we are the Lord's people," or this guy who's saying, "You better get ready, disaster is coming, we've sinned against God and God has given us over to our enemies, go ahead and surrender to the foreign troops when they come," which one sounds patriotic? Well, this one over here. Okay, which one sounds appealing? Well, this one over here. Which one sounds like it's saying God's a good guy and we can get along? Well, that's what this one's saying. But which one's true? This one over here. The message nobody wanted to hear. The message that would get Jeremiah's life threatened repeatedly. The message that would get attempts on his life made. The message that would cause him to be treated as a prisoner by people who wanted him dead. So, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I had a plan for you. You're going to be my spokesman." That's a nice thing to hear. But part of the reason we like hearing that is because we assume that means it's all going to be cushy. When God says, "I have a plan for your life," we think, "Happy days are here again." And God says, "It's not exactly what I have planned for you." Well, are you saying that God always plans bad things for his people? No, actually, this was a good thing. Jeremiah is one of the good guys. He's one of the ones who survived. But he's going to go through really tough times that as God's wrath is being poured out on the whole land, tons of people, there are going to be so many bodies that there's nobody to pick up the bodies. I mean, that's how bad it's going to be. It's going to be death and destruction. Horrible persecution. Not just property damage, but people being brutally killed. And God says, Jeremiah, don't be afraid. When these people oppose you and when my wrath is poured out, don't be afraid. You want to be afraid of something? God says, I'll make you afraid of me. Don't be afraid. You trust in the Lord. And no matter what happens, you're going to be okay. You will be okay. Because your trust is in the Lord. You do what I say. I have a plan for you. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be popular. It is going to be good. And you and I need to cling to that when things are tough. If we are trusting in Him, we are safe and secure no matter what comes. If we're trusting in something else, we're going to be very disappointed. So, Jeremiah is given this message, and I'm just going to cite a few places in the midst of this message. God says in chapter 7, and I mean it's all through here. I want you to read the whole book, but I'm just going to pull out some samples. Chapter 7, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Stand at the gate of the Lord's house and there proclaim this message. Hear the word of the Lord, all you people of Judah, who come through these gates to worship the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, this is the temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. The temple of the Lord. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your forefathers forever and ever. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we are safe. Safe to do all these detestable things? Has this house which bears my name become a den of robbers to you? But I have been watching, declares the Lord. Go now to the place in Shiloh where I first made a dwelling for my name, and see what I did to it because of the wickedness of my people Israel. While you were doing all these things, declares the Lord, I spoke to you again and again, but you did not listen. I called you, but you did not answer. Therefore, what I did to Shiloh, I will now do to the house that bears my name, the temple you trust in, the place I gave to you and your fathers. I will thrust you from my presence just as I did all your brothers, the people of Ephraim. So do not pray for this people, nor offer any plea or petition for them. Do not plead with me, for I will not listen to you. Do you not see what they are doing in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers light the fire, and the women knead the dough and make cakes of bread for the Queen of Heaven. They pour out drink offerings to other gods to provoke me to anger. But am I the one they are provoking? Declares the Lord. Are they not rather harming themselves to their own shame? Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My anger and my wrath will be poured out on this place, on man and beast, on the trees of the field and on the fruit of the ground, and it will burn and not be quenched. Verse 27, when you tell them all this, they will not listen to you. When you call to them, they will not answer. Therefore say to them, this is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God or responded to correction. Truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips. Cut off your hair and throw it away and take up a lament on the barren heights. For the Lord has rejected and abandoned this generation that is under his wrath. God says, if you will repent, I will protect you. If you will repent, I will forgive you. If you will turn, I will let you stay where you are. But God says, but they're not going to. God's not hedging his bets. God's not saying, you know, I just don't have confidence in them. God knows the end from the beginning. And yet, even though he knows that they will not repent, he still calls to them through the prophet Jeremiah and says, turn, turn, repent. Stop what you're doing. What you're doing is to your own harm. Please hear that. Sin hurts us. Now, it also hurts others, by the way. But the stuff we think we're getting away with is doing us in. Sin hurts us. God says, don't do this. People who do that think they're getting away with something. They're not. Picture yourself driving a nail into your eye and saying, ha ha ha, you can't stop me. What are you thinking? Sin is crazy behavior. It's destructive. It leads to death. When God says don't do that, it's because he cares about us. And so God offers repentance, knowing that the people will reject it. Look in chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, beginning in verse 11. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for the well-being of this people. Although they fast, I will not listen to their cry. Though they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Instead, I will destroy them with the sword, famine, and plague. But I said, ah, sovereign Lord, the prophets keep telling them, you will not see the sword or suffer famine. Indeed, I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own minds. Therefore, this is what the Lord says about the prophets who are prophesying in my name. I did not send them. Yet they are saying no sword or famine will touch this land. Those same prophets will perish by sword and famine. And the people they are prophesying to will be thrown out into the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and sword. There will be no one to bury them or their wives, their sons or their daughters. I will pour out on them the calamity they deserve. Come down to chapter 15. Then the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me, my heart would not go out to this people. Send them away from my presence. Let them go. And if they ask you, where shall we go? Tell them. This is what the Lord says. Those destined for death, to death. Those for the sword, to the sword. Those for starvation, to starvation. Those for captivity, to captivity. I will send four kinds of destroyers against them, declares the Lord. The sword to kill, and the dogs to drag away, and the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy. I will make them abhorrent to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. Well, that doesn't sound good. This is God's promise. It is possible for a people to go beyond the point where God says, repent. It is possible for people to come to a place where God says, I will not listen to their prayer. Even when they plead for mercy, I won't listen. And when other people pray on their behalf, I won't listen. If Moses and Samuel, not Moses or Samuel, if Moses and Samuel, two of the great heroes known for interceding on behalf of the people, if both of them were to come and appeal to me on behalf of these people right now, I wouldn't listen. God says, I've given them over. You read Romans chapter 1 and it describes the wrath of God being poured out when God gives people over to do what they want to do. The most horrible manifestation of God's wrath is when God says, have it your way. Have it your way. Deliver me, O God, from sin. Restrain me by your Spirit. Hold me back. Don't let me go down that road. What do you want? If God appeared physically before you and said, okay, do you really want sin or do you want my will? What would your answer be? What do you want? What do you aspire to be? Do you want to be holy? Do you want to be like him? Or do you want to be your own God? Have it your way. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. If your goal is to be your own boss and do your own thing and have it your way and not have to listen to others and do what they say, you just want to be in charge. You want to be able to do as you please. Please understand, you need to repent. You need to repent because God has warned us that that mindset, which was the mindset of Lucifer, is the way that leads to destruction. And tragically, many are on it. Broad is the way that leads to death, to destruction, and many travel thereon. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and few people find it. That's what Jesus said. So, God speaks this solemn word. But you know what? Turn over to chapter 30. And there's a whole lot more. Chapter 30, beginning in verse 12, this is what the Lord says. Your wound is incurable, your injury beyond healing. There is no one to plead your cause, no remedy for your sore, no healing for you. All your allies have forgotten you. They care nothing for you. I have struck you as an enemy would and punished you as would the cruel, because your guilt is so great and your sins so many. Why do you cry out over your wound, your pain that has no cure? Because of your great guilt and many sins, I have done these things to you. But all who devour you will be devoured. All your enemies will go into exile. Those who plunder you will be plundered. All who make spoil of you, I will despoil. But I will restore you to health and heal your wounds, declares the Lord. Because you were called an outcast, Zion for whom no one cares, this is what the Lord says. I will restore the fortunes of Jacob's tents and have compassion on his dwellings. The city will be rebuilt on her ruins, and the palace will stand in its proper place. From them will come songs of thanksgiving and the sound of rejoicing. I will add to their numbers, and they will not be decreased. I will bring them honor, and they will not be disdained. Their children will be as in days of old, and their community will be established before me. I will punish all who oppress them. Their leader will be one of their own. Their ruler will arise from among them. I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? Declares the Lord. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a driving wind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. In the fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand this. At that time, chapter 31, at that time, declares the Lord, I will be the God of all the clans of Israel, and they will be my people. This is what the Lord says. The people who survived the sword will find favor in the desert. I will come to give rest to Israel. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O Virgin Israel. Folks, Jeremiah was given a message that was very difficult to deliver. He was told that calamity was coming on his country and that there wasn't time to avoid it. Early on, God offers repentance. God says, turn, turn, repent. And the people said, not interested. We're fine, thanks. Everything's good. And so the point in time came when God said, that's it. I've decided. It's too late to repent. But even then, God says, this is not the end of the story. This is not the end of the story. I will restore those who are mine, and I will be glorified in my people. The refrain that we need to hear, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. And walk in all the ways I have commanded you that it may go well for you, and I will be your God. God says, you'll be mine, and I'll be yours. And whatever comes, we don't have to be afraid, and we don't have to despair. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you are merciful and gracious. You are compassionate. Because if you weren't, we'd all be destroyed. But we thank you also that you are holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we come to you this morning asking that you would have mercy upon us. Not just forgive us, but change us that we might draw near to you and do your will. We thank you for your love and grace. We pray that you would deliver us from the evil one. And we pray that you would give us wisdom to recognize your voice and to do what you command. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.